This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Sharad Kuzin, and with me are Melissa Idris.
Woo!
And Kusu Chuang.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, which indicates where Melissa has been all these weeks. You've been away for a month now, haven't you,
yeah.
Melissa? Wow.
Yeah. But time flies, though. I feel like no time has passed, and I'm back in the studio with you guys again.
Yeah, and you've had that fake smile on your face of enthusiasm. I know you're just crying inside.
My eyes are glazed, to be completely honest. I am majorly jet-lagged, but, you know, I mean, it's always good fun to be here in the morning. I mean, you almost make me forget that I haven't slept a wink.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, so for those of you who have slept and are now starting your day anew, there's an exciting lineup for you this morning on The Breakfast Girl. Actually, Melissa, plunging straight into it, you speak to C.R. Srinivasan, who is the Senior Vice President at Global Product Management for Tata Communications Data Center Services, and this is which is part of the Indian conglomerate Tata Group, which has, of course, come into the news in the last couple of weeks for that change in the corporate in the board. Have you been following this amazing?
She's written Italy, Sharad. Why would
know,
you?
I know. You should, and you shouldn't. You should turn all devices off. But you there's been all this boardroom drama in the Tata Group. So, and we've been talking about it. So, but
listen,
fine.
You see how big Sharad's eyes when it came to gossip.
I know.
Gossip in the business world is the most.
Gossip.
Oh my God! It just does not end. It does not end. But tell us a little bit about the grill
today. Okay, so Tata Communications, they are huge in the data center services, and the fact that they have, I think, about 70% of the mobile network operators around the world use Tata Communications for their network. Now, if you think about that, 1 in 10 calls around the world are connected by Tata Communications. And the reason why they can do this is because they have a massive fiber network. Now, if you combine both their subsea and their terrestrial network, it can actually cross the world 17 times. That's how sprawling it is. So I think it's underrated. This is all kind of behind the scenes, right? So you don't normally think about what goes on behind the scenes to keep you connected, you know, daily, your calls, internet, everything, right? So today we're just going to delve behind the scenes and talk to the people who do keep us connected, all the data centers, and Tata Communications being a huge player in this space.
Right. Amazing. I saw some of these numbers. They connect so many people. I think 70% of the world's mobile networks use their business. So,
yeah. In fact, just in about 12 hours ago, so news coming in that the Tata Empire, which is kind of ubiquitous. I mean, Tata products and services are ubiquitous for Indians. You know, almost a day can't go by without some Tata product, you know, passing through the hands of some Indian. Apparently, it's about to split in half because Cyrus Mistry, who was removed as chairman, remains chairman of the group unit. So it's a very interesting game that's being played. He, of course, is a son of one of the major shareholders of Tata's and Sons. So again, that Ratan Tata, Cyrus Mystery story just unfolds and unfolds. Exciting stuff.
In Melissa's eyes, it's just the Tuscany countryside.
Sorry, I'm
still.
Still on gelato and pasta at the moment. But okay, let's keep
You know
going.
What? I would change places with you
in
any
a flash,
day.
In a flash.
Okay, speaking of flash, we're going to be discussing U.S. relations with the Philippines in particular. On current affairs, that's after the 8:30 news. But of course, you know, the Philippines turn away from the U.S. towards China in some ways mirrors our turn towards China. A lot of speculation in the international media about what's motivated the Prime Minister and the Najib administration to go the way that he has, including the purchase of military hardware. I think that's a major sign of shifting alliances. We're purchasing 4 naval craft, and we don't know what the price of that is yet. But, there's all this kind of realignment happening in the region. And we're going to be speaking to Prashant Parameswaran later on.
Specifically about the Philippines?
Well, when we contacted him, the Philippines was a big story. But Malaysia's also become a big story. Right. We're being described as a wobbly domino in the region. Also, I mean, because analysts have come out and say, well, you know, this really is about Malaysia being realistic. It's a small to medium-sized country, and it's got to deal with these two big powers and big power rivalry in the region. So,
can I just be a bit gratuitous and do a bit of self marketing for my column, because I'm writing about it in the Edge this weekend, and I just I'm basically in the course of my reading, I've discovered that with the Philippines realigning to the Chinese, and with Malaysia also following suit, what we've done is we've acceded to the Chinese economic wallet. I mean, we basically said we're going to take your money, but in return we're going to give you our allegiance. And I think by buying Chinese, basically these fast patrol boats, we are also aligning ourselves to China's security aspirations. So I suggested that this might be a bit risky, because we are putting our chips in with the Chinese. And if there ever a military conflagration happens with the Americans, we might have to take sides. And I think right now it looks like it's going to be the Chinese.
But Chuang, the Malaysian motivations for getting closer to China, completely different from the Philippines' motivations to getting closer to China, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's speculations rife. Financial Times, Reuters, I mean, all endless speculation. Some, kind of like make it personal. They're saying, that Prime Minister Najib is miffed at that Department of Justice, investigation under its kleptocracy, unit. Making a deal in terms of hardware doesn't happen overnight, mm-hmm. right? But we don't actually have details. But I think, Chuang, we might be premature. It might be just Malaysia doing deals with both sides. It's like, big developers in Malaysia pay both sides of the political divide, in this country.
Definitely. This is basically a situation of needs must, because we do need the money. We do need the FDI and the investment. And China's willing to come up with it. And I wrote basically that, the Malaysians have opted to take Chinese hand in marriage,
yeah.
and this is 144 billion ringgit dowry.
But I also think that both sides, both China and the US, will be watching to see who Malaysia is closer to, right? So if I were the US, I'd be watching, how close exactly is this G2G relationship, right? You want to know which house you've pledged allegiance to.
Actually, I don't know if it's a zero-sum game for Malaysia. I think Malaysia, and this is what some analysts are saying, that Malaysia's actually got a balanced approach. It's got an approach that helps them deal with China. And Malaysia's been criticized in the past of being very softly, gently with China over the South China Sea issue.
Malaysia does not
It needs China's trade, as many countries. In fact, we compare the numbers.
Correct.
We've compared the numbers. When Xi Jinping went to Bangladesh, only a couple of a week and a half ago or so, the quantum that South China Morning Post talked about was about the same. It was about 40 billion US dollars, which, in some sense, that is the level which China is playing with all these different countries, Malaysia included. We're no different, really.
Correct. I think Malaysia doesn't want to see this as a zero-sum game, because they want to keep everybody happy. But I think ultimately it'll have to come down to that. They'll have to choose sides, or we'll have to choose sides.
Well, let's see. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, that old platitude, time will tell.
Old platitude.
Old otherwise. Okay, on today's show, Ringgit and Cents, Julian looks into ETFs. Now, this is an extraordinary departure from Julian's... I'm just kidding. It's not an extraordinary departure from Julian's favorite theme of ETFs, but he's also going to be speaking about a book called Investing Demystified. And I think that's part of the attempt to level Malaysians up. Melissa, over the last month, we had news. It came from a poll, I believe, that suggested Malaysian financial literacy is actually reasonably low in the region. So, I think BFM playing its part in raising the bar on financial literacy.
Hopefully.
So if you don't know what an ETF is, today's the time to find out what it is and how it can help you. Quick look at the news. Stock market volatility has increased over uncertainties following the U.S. presidential elections moving into a competitive mode. Just 2 weeks ago, it looked like a sure win for Hillary Clinton. Now, with that email disclosure that October zinger, things are changing. It's become much more competitive. We see the Swiss franc, the yen, and the peso, the Mexican peso, move in ways that suggest that markets are not happy. And if you watch Bloomberg, it's interesting. They have these like stocks that are Related to Trump, that the Trump basket of stocks, and then there's the Clinton basket. So they have all these graphs.
You know, Sharad, when I was on holiday, I tried my very best to kind of remove myself from the daily grind of, you know, my addiction to news. Let's just say my addiction to news. But one thing it was really hard to remove from was the U.S. presidential elections.
Everywhere.
I mean, people are talking about it in lines. In Europe, people are talking about, you know, you can hear the word Trump in a language you don't even understand. You can hear Trump and Clinton and people are talking about it. So clearly, I mean, I guess we have less than a week to go till the elections and we find out the results.
November the 5th, I think.
Wednesday is actually where we're looking at. Even in Mumbai, the BSE Sensex index tumbled some 349 points on news of the possibility of a Trump win. So because in some polls Trump has edged Clinton, this is worrying some markets around the world. In fact, a lot of markets around the world. And there's endless talk about this next week being quite a bloody one for the markets because of these uncertainties. And clearly, the markets preferred a kind of establishment candidate like Clinton over, you know, somebody as volatile as a Donald Trump.
Yeah, this volatility has only just returned to the market because everybody was kind of expecting this kind of royal turbulence to because of the Clinton-Trump thing. But it's starting to come to a head, and I think it's going to get worse. Well, not... It's going to get worse, but it's going to get more volatile as we come near the elections.
Yeah, I mean, if you just read some of the news coming out of the U.S. In the run-up to this to polling day, I found this extraordinary piece of news about white nationalists, plotting a show of force on polling day. The KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, and neo-Nazis and militias plan to monitor urban polling stations and suppress the black vote. You look at the link, and it's coming from,
Politico.
So, I mean, this is not some sort of fringe website. I know, Trump, you know, it's come out and said he's trying to distance himself from the Ku Klux Klan. But so much of Trump's speeches, the demagoguery, the race baiting, the anti-immigrant, orientation of his speech, all have given renewed life to these fringe elements in American politics. You know, the anti-black racism, the anti-immigrant racism. And so the Ku Klux Klan, recently... the Ku Klux Klan.
No relation to Ku.
I don't know. I think we're going to dig deeper to find out that's true. No, you can... No, declarations on your part are not,
to be taken
at face value, yes. So I think it's going to be real drama. I think what's happened is with the FBI emails and such is that Trump has made, the U.S. presidential elections. It's always been so, but I think it's more so a television spectacle.
Do you think there's going to be a real spectacle and, votes going to have to be recounted and, days of uncertainty after that? I'm sure, right?
Because split electoral college. All these different scenarios are now being trotted out and spoken about precisely because of these uncertainties, right? He could pull off, something. And the pundits don't really know. I think looking back at the Brexit polls, there's a bit of self-doubt there about the polls.
Because everyone thought it was going to go one way and we were completely surprised when it went the other direction. I have to say, I wonder if we are making a mountain out of a molehill, though. I mean, there's all this speculation and worry, but when it comes down to it, I mean, at the end of the day, if it's just a straightforward... he or she won, is that more what we're looking? Is that what the pundits are saying?
Well, it's about policy as well, So with this Clinton scenario is also gridlock. That's one of the things, right? That Clinton will take the presidency, but she'll lose the House.
Right.
The other, with the Trump presidency, the possibility that the Republicans will take both presidency and the House. But what is Trump stand for? And what I think a lot of analysts are saying is that both candidates are, in fact, anti-growth, and that their remedies for the American economy are not good and not going to work. There's even some speculation that, you know, year and a half into a Trump administration, if he follows through with his stated policies that he's had on the stump, this is going to be very bad for the American economy. I think that's what worries, I think, analysts out there. Well, we have, we're going to come back with more because actually the news around the world, South Africa also in turmoil with Jacob Zuma being exposed for corrupt practices. That, but the fact that he said he was not going to suppress the report actually led to, a 2% or a 2% rise in the South African stock market. Anyway, we'll have more when we come back. BFM 89.9. Kusu Chuang and myself, Sharad Kutin, back. And that was Superfly by Curtis Mayfield. We've had, in fact, messages of welcoming you back, Melissa. Oh. We have Samuel John, Samuel Tant, lots of Samuels out there lining up to welcome you back.
Sulip as well.
So is it?
Yeah.
So not just Samuels, but
that was not on Twitter.
Sulip, yeah. Thank you. Sulip,
well,
thank
the S's
you.
Have,
good to be back.
The S's are back. The X excited by the prospect of you helming the show once again, Melissa, after 4 weeks, a 4 week hiatus, where you got some rest and got to focus on other things. But we're not going to ask you about that unless you want to share,
Well, let's leave that for another day, shall we?
Oh, yes, sir, when we run out of things to talk about. Okay. Also in the news, interestingly enough, the defunct U.S. News website Gawker has settled a lawsuit that was won by the retired U.S. professional wrestler Hulk Hogan. And they're going for a £25 million settlement, or a $31 million settlement. So that case really did Gawker in. They had closed down just after the settlement was announced. But what's interesting about that was it was also backed by Peter Thiel, who has now come out in the corporate world. It's a bit of a story because he gave $1 million to the Trump campaign.
Peter Thiel, the founder of PayPal.
One of the founders of PayPal.
And who was outed by Gawker.
Which is why he had an extra grind.
He was outed as gay, and this was part of the revenge. He paid for Hulk Hogan's suit.
Yeah.
He bankrolled the suit, but the suit caused Gawker to face bankruptcy, and now this $25 million, or $31 million.
That suit put Gawker out of business. Yeah. Amazing. So don't rub people up the wrong way.
Yeah, but Gawker is a very interesting model in this day and age with social media and the fact of surveillance cameras played a large part, and Gawker's own sort of network of people who would snitch on celebrities. And sometimes it did some good. I mean, you can argue, but that's a conversation for another day, I guess. We're going to be looking at something that's also gone viral in some sense on Malaysian, on Twitter, or Twitter Jives, we like to call it, a PSA or a public service announcement video that, trots out the general message that we've heard many, about crime, that be aware of your surroundings, don't talk to strangers. But the premise of the video is a young woman being, hexed.
Pukau
is the Malay word, yes. Right? So the question is, and this was brought up by somebody on Twitter, it's like, I can't believe that there's a PSA based on witchcraft. If we take witchcraft seriously.
Okay, so if you haven't seen this video, it's making its rounds on social media. Essentially, it's a young woman who gets stopped by... So a car stops, and then two strangers come up to her and show her something on her phone, and she gets... hexed, as you say, pukau. Yeah. And
she gets tapped on the shoulder suddenly.
Something like that.
And then she kind of just wilts.
And she gets glazed eyes, and she goes to an ATM and withdraws money and gives
we'll
it.
We'll tweet this out for you.
Bro. And I have to add that this is an official PSA. It's by KDN, the Home Ministry, and by the police, PDRM, as well, supported and shown on Astro.
So does that mean it's actually happened in the past?
Well, it depends. Okay, I mean, we've all heard the story, right? I mean, everyone has heard of a story of a friend of a friend of a friend's who has...
I have actually seen it close up for real.
No joke.
I have. Oh, I used to go with someone whose best friend was, let's just say, not the most generous in the world. And she was from the other side of the pond in East Malaysia. So So apparently she, well, concocted quite a powerful brew. And the individual, and I saw this happen, he went from the most ungenerous person in the world to become the most generous person in the world.
I don't believe that stuff.
I mean, I honestly,
you can't see with your own eyes because there's nothing to see. Somebody drinks something. Did you see the person drink it, the liquid?
No, I didn't see the hex actually happening.
So then what did you see?
I saw the transformation.
Maybe it's your love, Chuan.
Yeah, it could have been.
it could have been love.
Yeah, you could have, you're attributing.
So you guys don't believe this actually thing happens?
Well, I know that you do. You do believe in witchcraft and this kind of spiritual.
Witchcraft.
What else is it?
No matter what we believe, does it merit a PSA funded by ministries?
Well, the PSA talks to a certain type of people and certain segment of society, so they must think it works.
Yeah, they must. And I think this is the bone of contention, right? So you want people to be aware of their surroundings. You want people to be cautious when they're engaging with strangers. I mean, all that's reasonable, and you can sort of put that message out. But the premise, the unsaid premise, is that witchcraft is used as part of, you know, criminal kind of mode of operation that they're actually using. And I've heard, when I had my house broken into, I had nonsense told to me that I would find excrement in my house because this is part of the Pukau thing. You know, people rob you, they also then you do, you know, take a dump in your house. All these things.
Keep it classy.
You know, sorry, the 4 weeks have been a deterioration. We have gone into the gutter in the last 4 weeks, Melissa. But you know, or eat something from your fridge. I mean, the most ridiculous things are said. Haven't you heard these
things?
Yes,
I have. Yeah.
Some might say that Pukau actually happens at the highest levels of society. Who knows? Some might say.
But, you know, it's in every culture. You know what I mean? It's not limited to just one segment of society. Every culture has a variation of Pukau, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about every culture, but you're right. It is fairly universal.
Every culture in Malaysia is what I'm saying. So that's because of that, but does that merit a PSA?
Yeah,
because what we're talking about right now is the PSA that's gone viral.
Okay, so the PSA and the message, I think, is not a problem. It is the unstated assumption that witchcraft is there in our society, right? I mean, I get your argument, Chuang, when you say, well, you need to acknowledge that people do believe this.
Yeah.
To the extent they do believe it, then make them more aware that they should, you know. But it's also promoting, I think, a rather unscientific worldview.
Well, what about Harry Potter then? Should we not watch Harry Potter as a result?
You muggle.
Yeah?
Well, no, Harry Potter's fiction. It's not a public service announcement.
KDM might say this is fiction. Oh, you know, I'm just making up the story. It's like Harry Potter, but Malaysianized.
No, I think Harry Potter is a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
Mr. Potter.
No, it's a metaphor. I mean, I think witchcraft stories and stories about wolves and vampires, you know, the Twilight series shouldn't be banned. I'm not for banning these things. But that's a different mode, right, when you go and watch that stuff. But a PSA, you know, purports to be a description of reality. So the thing is, should a PSA be based on facts, right?
I love the fact that
we have
KDN,
about criminality in this country.
Well, it's the police as well. PDRM's logo is on this.
They've
this
taken
PSA.
A kind of like a risk with this PSA. And I think I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Chuang's going a different direction.
They've taken creative
this
license. I love it. Fantastic.
I don't know whether I support our ministries taking creative license.
Have you seen PDRM on Twitter? Not Twitter, Instagram?
No.
Yeah.
PDRM on Instagram.
Yeah, and they're very
active. What do
the
cops have to say?
Just pictures with them helping society in general, doing active things.
But do you think it's a problem?
They're very active.
I mean, in a country where the scientific orientation is so tenuous, our hold on science, on reason, debate, on, you know, all those good things, especially that, you know, that a secular society can produce and promote, is so tenuous.
But you know,
do we really want to encourage this stuff?
But you know, Sharad, I have friends who are well educated, you know, very scientific minded, yet believe in supernatural things.
Yeah, I have a friend sitting right here, Kusu Chuan,
who's very educated, very scientific.
I don't know about scientific, but he's certainly is a very educated, probably overly so. Okay, the first bulletin of the day is coming up next with Keith Kam, BFM 89.9, Kusu Chuang, Melissa Idris, and myself, Sharad Kutin. It's going to happen by the undertones. What's going to happen? Pukau. That's what we're told.
In reference to the PSA by the KDN, PDRM, and Astro about watching out for pukao. Yeah. What is the
hex? Hex. Is that a spell? Spell, you know. And somebody who grew up on Bewitched,
yes.
you know, in the 70s. Yes. I mean, there's a smile on Chuang's face of recognition because we're both the same age.
Harry Potter also got, right?
Yeah, spells, hex. And, you know, I think if you can sort of trot out one of those magical incantations that Harry Potter so famously made, you know, well known and on the lips of so many children, I would give you a sweetie. But I want to say, oh, Hiswani has tweeted in and say, some people kena pukau bila dengar Melissa di radio. Oh, yeah, so sweet. Yeah. What's he fishing for, Hiswani?
He's
married with four children.
That's nice. It's good to be missed. It's nice to know that.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that was undeniable. You add a certain a ray of sunshine in our drab.
Rays, plural. Rays.
You are rays of sunshine. It's what kind of England is that?
Too much testosterone in the studio, I think. You need a dash of women's prerogative, I guess.
So speaking of testosterone, do men's accessories make you less testosterone filled? Are you likely, is it the rise of things like man bags that are marketed, you know, and I think they use all kinds of manly models and images to promote these accessories, but are they in fact robbing men of their essential masculinity?
Well, this topic came about because there was a campaign by a men's clothing company that this advertising campaign said that real men don't carry bags, right? So this was a search for I'm using air quotes here, real male model. Now, do men's bags or men's accessories make you feel less manly? And I can't believe I'm asking this question in 2016. I feel like this is such an antiquated question. What is going on? It's 2016, right?
I know, but you know, there are things that people become sensitive about. Don't you? I mean, you're a man.
Do you carry a man bag?
Yeah, actually, I do.
And your pouch as well.
My Chinese mixed rice pouch.
In case he needs change, he can reach very quickly into his pouch.
I'm not the most fashionable of people. No, but...
convenience.
Yeah. I think this has all come about because I think the alternative movement, the LGBTs, and, you know, it's much more acceptable now to be out, basically. So I think this is equally strong.
Well, no, I'm offended at this campaign simply because it starts, you know, it's a question.
But you're
that
not
says,
a guy. You're a
real
girl.
Man should do this. What is a real man? And I'm equally offended that this could as easily be a real woman should. You know, you just substitute the man for a woman.
I think there are also cultural and social differences, right? I mean, one thing I did realize traveling in the region is how men deal with their own identities, right? I used to feel that it wasn't particularly manly, I confess, to carry an umbrella. I also lose umbrellas at the
trolley. Have you been to London, mate?
Well, this is it.
Everybody carries a brolly.
Well, you know, but you see, if it rains, but would you use an umbrella to shade yourself from the sun?
For sure, because they can act as a weapon. You can poke someone in the
eye. I think in Malaysia, men don't use umbrellas to shade themselves from the sun.
Even the rain. I know some men who just go, oh, it's okay, I'm all right. Don't worry, I'm okay.
The rain is obviously a good reason to use an umbrella. Nobody would say you are less manly. But if you were just shading yourself from the sun. But if you go to Myanmar, if you go to the Philippines, men routinely use umbrellas to shade themselves from the sun. And so, it's sensible.
I've been horrified by the sight of a bunch of Bangladeshi, buddies on the beaches of Batu Fringi, merrily holding hands, strolling down the beach, and they're entirely heterosexual, I think.
Yeah, but
And Russell Peters has made fun of this as well. So it's not. So I think
conceptions. It's camaraderie, right? It's just. Yeah.
See myself holding hands with you, Sharad, by the way.
Well, so this is a South Asian thing, right? A lot of South Asian men. In fact, I think a lot of men even in Southeast Asia, especially if they don't come from the cities, engage in hand holding. And, you know, it's the technical term for it would be, it's part of this larger thing called homosociality, which is just about that men tend to. They don't like this. They don't want to learn anything. Melissa, what is it? What's wrong with these old men, curmudgeons? Okay, so yeah.
Coming back to this, a real man should campaign that this clothing company has done. What, do you remember back in the 90s, the early 90s, there was this whole thing, wear pink, men wearing pink as seen as effeminate, and then later on, to if you wear pink, you know, you're proud of your, you know, you're secure your masculinity. Are we still talking about that? I just feel like this is just a different.
What to you makes a real man, Melissa?
There is no such term as real man.
Yeah, so that's what she's contesting. That's what she's contesting.
There must be attributes.
Because the reason why I feel so strongly about this is I'm substituting in my head if someone said a real woman is. What is a real woman? Should she have curves? That's body shaming, right? What if someone who doesn't have curves, is she a real woman?
Why has too many curves?
Or what if she has has gone through cancer and has a mastectomy or has no longer the lady bits. Does that mean that she's no longer a woman?
I think we're overanalyzing this because I never thought of what makes a real man, what makes
a real
woman.
So you're looking at this campaign, Chuang, where there's a hunky male model, you know, dressed in his briefs, compared to with a man bag, and then compared to a beer-bellied, pouchy guy who's reaching for a football and he's the real man. That doesn't offend you?
Well, you know, I think that some of us, and I see Chuang's point, I mean, should we take, an ad campaign so seriously? After all, it doesn't dominate our lives. We can, you know, flip the channel. We can ignore it. But I do see Melissa's point as well, because this is also becomes the new norm, right? To talk about these questions about masculinity. I think at the end of the day, it's all driven by some commercial impulse, right? What they're trying to do is to get you to buy something switch fashions or whatever.
I see this similar to what we were discussing earlier about the PSA, Sharad. I don't think that we should take this as lightly. And I think we should hold these people accountable for putting out a campaign like that. Because when we see a PSA that has, you know, tells you to watch out for pukau instances...
Actually, no, you've got a good point
there. Yeah, it's the same. We're putting things out there for a conversation.
They have a duty of care.
Yes.
Because some days ago, I spoke to the Ombudsman for Financial Services, and he handles disputes among people and banks, right? So, it's, you know, I took it in a direction which related to advertising and responsible advertising. So if you make it cool or sexy to, for example, to borrow money or to smoke cigarettes or to consume alcohol or even to dress in a certain way, well, there's a duty of care, I think.
Well, I think, as much as we talk about financial literacy, I think one of the things that needs to be introduced is, or there should be concern about, is media literacy. Basically, getting people to be much more skeptical or critical of the kind of messages that are being they're bombarded with, right? So that they don't, fall immediately into the trap that is set in a very innocuous way. I mean, look at those images. They're tantalizing. You know, how could you not look at them? And they're designed, I'm sure there's a lot of science going behind it, designed to attract you to look at these things and accept the premise of the argument. So the premise of that PSA was that there's a magical world, and I'm thinking of Olivia Newton-John here and Xanadu, I don't know for what reason. But, you know, there's a magical world and it affects behavior. And in this instance, there are things like real men. And maybe you're right, Chuang, there is... I mean, Chuang, tell us, what's your definition of a real man?
I don't know, someone who is, responsible, who does the right thing by his friends and his family and his children, I don't know, who's able to show a range of emotions.
Characteristics rather than physical attributes.
And that could be a woman, right? Sure, a real woman is somebody who takes care of the people around her, You could use... But no, so if... So that's...
I don't think there's anything physical about it. I think it's what goes up upstairs. It goes on upstairs.
Okay, so you would reject this ad because it, in fact, focuses on the superficial, right?
I'd look away straight away because it doesn't interest me.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good to know. At least... Samuel I can get you a man bag.
Yeah.
Ken Osola. Samuel just got back from Milan, so clearly.
Have you come back with accessories? Okay, Samuel Tan's tweeted and says, man bags, it's practical, and it's just like any other thing that you carry. It has
like
a function.
A pouch, for example.
Yes, I don't know about
the pouch. I can never understand where men keep their stuff. Can you fit it all into your pockets?
Yes, because you can.
That's why you got
backpack. I can't.
That's why I got a Chinese mixed rice pouch. I put my gun in there. I put my dynamite. I put my man things.
The loose change, I think, is what we call it. Yeah. Okay, we're going to be coming back with more after this. There's news at the top of the hour. And it's Walk Like a Man by Grand Funk Railroad. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.